الله الرحمن الرحيم. حب القطاع الذي ليس لأولوية الارتضاء ولا لأولوية الانقضاء، والحسرة الأوصاف قد كنت معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عجز السماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والسلام على الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعضها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لطاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الكاظم عليه الصلاة والسلام: المعروف كل لا يفكه إلا مكافات أو شكر. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
Today is the day of the rehlat of Hazrat Abu Talib alayhi salatu wa salam, and yesterday was the day of rehlat of our seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
But before I start my speech, I would like to request all of you to please recite one surah al-Fatiha for the aunt of Brother Sajjad who passed away. Her name was Amina, daughter of Ali Muhammad. And the thawab of the Fatiha to her soul. And also the second surah al-Fatiha for his paternal aunt who also passed away yesterday. And her name is Khairul Nisa bint Fida Hussain. Please also recite one surah al-Fatiha for her soul. Also, I'd like to request all of you to please read Salat al-Wahshat tonight for Marhuma Khairul Nisa bin Fida Hussain after the Maghrib prayers. Imam al-Kazim alayhi salatu wassalam is the Imam who has seen six of the Zalim rulers in his time. At the time of his birth, it was the last ruler of Banu Umayyah, Marwan al-Hammar, in 126 Hijrah. And later on, till the time of shahadat of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, which was done, that means the one who killed the Imam is Harun al-Abbasi, rahmatullahi alayhi, and that was the sixth ruler who poisoned the Imam through rutab, a date. And that was, which we are commemorating it in the shahadat today, 25th of Rajab, 183rd Hijrah. And Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam is the Imam that has great great barakat, although every Imam has barakat, but specifically we find that in the nasl of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, most probably Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such a barakat that ihtimalan the largest number of the Sayyids and Hashimis who are available today in the earth are from the lineage and nasl of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. And he himself, despite the fact that he had spent and he was sent into the jail by different rulers of his time for the last 40 years before his shahadat, 40 years of his life before his shahadat was spent in jail, from one jail to the other in Baghdad, before he was poisoned, he had 19 sons and 18 daughters, mashallah, which is a huge barakat that Allah gave into his nasl. And he has 8 alqab, which are mentioned. The most famous one is the one that we talk about very frequently, al-Kazim, the one who controls the anger, but the rest of the 7 are also famous for in the ulama, in the eyes of the scholars. Those are very famous alqab as well, which are Abdul Saleh, because in the riwayat, in the ahadith, when you turn to the ahadith, in so many of the riwayat, it says min al-Abdul Saleh, min al-Abdul Saleh. This narration is from Al-Abdul Saleh, without mentioning the name of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. So among the scholars, these alqab are very famous. So whenever in the front of a narration, it says that this narration is from Al-Abdul Saleh, it means Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam. So this is his laqab, and this is, for him. Likewise, Al-Alim. Harun Rashid, la'anatullah alayh, the murderer of the Imam, used to rule over 44 countries. 44 countries. A huge empire. Spanning from Spain, Andalusia, Andalus. Even today they call that area to be Andalus. From Andalusia till all the way to Kazakhstan, including Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and Turkmenistan and Uzbekistan and Tajikistan and Azerbaijan. It's a huge empire. 44 countries were under his rule. So it was probably the largest empire in the history of Banu Umayya and Banu Abbas. And we know that in those days, the Islamic scientists were in the Islamic university, and Islamic scholars were widely known, because the University of Cordoba, Cordoba, University of Cordoba was considered to be the best university in the world. And so we are talking about the greatest, some of the greatest and most famous scientists in the history coming from those days, and not just that, But actually, we find that it's universities were actually all over, not just in just in Córdoba, but also in the history says it, there were universities and institutions in Granada and Mecca and Medina and Baghdad and Qahira and Trablus and Al-Jazair. So these were the cities of knowledge where Islamic institutions were established to spread various sciences. So now as we are discussing the laqab of Imam al-Kazim among eight al-qab that he had, laqab of al-alim, in those days when Islamic science and knowledge was at its peak, and those were the golden ages of Muslim history in terms of the science and technology and medicine and physics and chemistry and mathematics and astronomy, we find that in those days, the society used to call Imam al-Kazim to be al-alim. If there was one human being that was called al-alim, it was him in the history. So you can understand the importance of this laqab, and also, like I said earlier, that all of these al-qab are famous in the ulama, in the eyes of the scholars, namely the awam. Some of the awam don't know about them, but the scholars have these al-qab for Imam al-Kazim is known as famous. Also, another laqab was al-Amin, and as-Sabir, and Nafsun Zakiyyah. Nafsun Zakiyyah, every Imam is of course Amin and Sabir and Nafsun Zakiyyah, but these are the al-qab that were given to the Imam, our seventh Imam. And also Babul Hawa'ij, that means he's the door of all the needs. Everyone who may have any hajat towards Allah can turn to Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam as the wasita and wasila, and his, and Allah will accept his hajat through the greatness and azamat of this Imam. And the last one, the eighth one, is Zainul Mutahajjideen. Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam is the beauty of all those who are doing tahajjud. He is the beauty of all the mutahajjideen. At the time of imamat, he was 20 years old, and he spent 20 years of his life along under the imamat of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, his father. Then at the age of 20, he became the imam, occupying the mansab of, possessing the mansab of walayat bin fi'l currently. And his mother is Ummu Hamida, who also belonged to Andalus, and one of the greatest mothers and one of the purest mothers in the history. In the time of Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam is the story of Fadak, which Harun once had asked him that I'm ready to give away this garden of Fadak, which was there in the outskirts of the city of Medina, part of the Fay. And Fay in our fiqh, we call to those of the Amwal, which came into the control of the Muslims, min dun khaylin wala rikab wala jihad, that comes into the control of the Muslims without a fight. There was no fight taking place, but the kuffar, the Yahud, have basically gifted without any fight. They had gifted this garden, a very famous piece of land, piece of green land in the outskirts of Medina, to the Holy Prophet. And when the ayat of Holy Quran was revealed, وَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ, give ذَا الْقُرْبَى you know, his right. So that's where the Holy Prophet has given this garden in Medina as a, to Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, as a matter of taqwiyat and strengthening of the walayat and imamat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa salam. So they don't stand in need of any worldly wealth. They are mustaghni billah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every action of the Prophet and every command of Allah is full of hikmat, because the politics and economics go hand in hand. Unless Imam Ali alayhi salam is financially strong, you can't expect the desired results from his government. So in order to strengthen the walayat and khilafat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah commanded the Holy Prophet, maybe one of the reasons is this, that Allah commanded the Holy Prophet to give it to Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, and which was usurped in the time of the first Khalifa. And now we find that Harun Rashid says to the Imam that I'm ready to give it back. I understand this belongs to you, Ahlul Bayt, and it was taken away wrongfully. In other words, so I'm ready to return it back to you if you please mention the boundaries of Fadak to me. And that's where the Imam understood and knew what his intention is, and he actually will never give it back to the Imam. So, but Harun Rashid was insisting on the Imam to describe and to fix the boundaries so that he can give it back. And that's where Imam alayhi salam, Imam al-Qadhim alayhi salam, started to mention the boundaries of the entire empire of Harun Rashid. Instead of talking about the small garden in the outskirts of Medina, Imam Qadhim alayhi salam started to talk about the boundaries of the whole empire of Harun. And that's where Harun replied, so actually you want the whole government, not the Fadak. So the Tawaghit always were smart enough to understand, and that's the reason why they continued to occupy with some of the Muslimin still don't understand the concept of Fadak and fail to perform their obligations towards that. So Fadak is up till this date usurped from the Ahlul Bayt because their walayat is usurped. Fadak will be returning back to the Ahlul Bayt when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam's walayat comes into its execution and it's established, the government of the social justice of Islam is established. That's where the real return of Fadak will be. So Fadak belongs to the walayat and entire government of Ahlul Bayt. So these, I couldn't find in the history evidences that Imam Ali salatu wasalam took that piece of garden back at the time when he became the Khalifa, or Imam Hassan alayhi salam took it back when he became the Khalifa, because as a matter of fact, they don't stand in need of a few trees and a bit of green land. What they stand in need is the Khilafat for the sake of Iqamatul Haqq, installing the Haqq and justice on the world. That's what they wanted and they needed. They don't stand in need of just a few trees. But it was not just a few trees. It has a whole economic role to play, because the city of Medina didn't have 100 gardens. It is a small and tiny metropolitan area with only one major garden available. And that one major garden was a source of income for so many people, because Imam Ali alayhi salam had given employment. He had employed so many laborers in the garden from a tiny city of Medina. There were a significant number of people working in the garden on behalf of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So he was the one who was providing jobs to the people, and there was a revenue coming into his control through which he can serve Islam and Muslims. So the whole economic lifeline of the government of Ahlul Bayt and the household of Ahlul Bayt was related to that garden. Mamun al-Rashid, the son of Harun, the one who poisoned Imam al-Rida alayhi salam, says that once Imam Kadhim alayhi salam came into Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam came into the gathering, and my dad Harun respected him. He did ikram and ihtiram towards him. He paid his honor and respect to him and made him sit on his position in the darbar. Next to him. And as long as Imam alayhi salam was there, he didn't talk to anybody. My father didn't talk. He didn't talk to anyone else in the gathering except the Imam. So these are all signs of respect. And when the night came, that's where I asked my father that who was this person that you, made him sit next to you higher than your place. And so Harun replied that Hada Imamun Nas, and he's the Imam of the humanity. And Hujjatullah ala khalqihi, and the Hujjat of Allah on his creatures. So, and then I asked him, isn't that you who is the Khalifa and the leader? Is there anybody else who is the Khalifa and leader other than you? And Harun said, well, this person is the most deserving of the position, but you know what? Al-Mulku Aqim. Al-Mulku Aqim is kind of a proverb in Arabic language that we is used. It's used that to show that the kingdom has no children. That means the ruler doesn't recognize no children for his own. Even if his own son stands in the way of his empire, he's going to kill his own son. So he doesn't care about his children. So as if he has no children. Aqim means the person who has no children. So al-mulku aqim, the kingdom has no children. So we don't care about our children when it comes to power and government. We can even kill our own children, what to talk of him. And also, he says that once me and my brother Amin and my brother Mu'tasim, Mamun had those two brothers, Amin and Mu'tasim, we were with our father and we all were going for Hajj. And in the middle of the travel, my dad commanded the people to, he's going to stop and relax for a while. He can accept the people visiting him. So they put a, a place for the Imam. They settled down and a place for Harun Rashid. And then he asked the Darban, the person who is at the gate, to check the Hasab and Nasab, the lineage of the people who are coming to visit the Khalifa. And so they used to ask each and every person visiting, what is your hasab and nasab? He used to tell, his lineage, whether it reaches the Muhajireen or the Ansar. So the migrants of Mecca or the helpers who provided the help from Medina, he called them Ansar. And one day, it's narrated that, and of course Mamun used to give hadaya or gifts to people according to their family background. One day, Mamun Rashid says that on one of the days, Fadr ibn Rabi came and said to his father that a person came and he says that his hasab is Musa ibn Ja'far ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And as soon as my father heard that, he said to all of us, be careful now, be careful about how you behave, and sit respectfully, and sit on your places. And then he asked him to be allowed to come inside. This old man entered. Mamun says, I never recognized Imam Qadim alayhi salam before this incident. That's the first time, my first encounter with the Imam. So an old man with a mark on his forehead of sajda entered. His face was glittering and shining in munawwar. He was coming with wiqar and dignity. And with azamat and greatness, he had azamat and greatness and rububbat and jalalat and majesty. And when he arrived, he was about to sit in an ordinary place, but my father asked him to sit in a special place next to him, next to me, Mahmud Rashid says, the son of the Khalifa, next to me. And my father kissed his forehead, and that's the day when I heard the name and of the Imam, he says. And then he says that when Imam Qadim alayhi salam wanted to go away, my father again kissed his forehead and asked me and my brother to accompany him, to go and help him. So we basically helped grab the reins of the horse. That's how you help the person to ride on the back of the horse. So this is how you are paying respect. Just like today, if you go and open the door of the car for a person, it's a way you are paying respect, isn't it right? In those days, if you are respecting somebody, you hold the reins of his horse at the time of riding, not at the time when he's moving, which is an insult if you do that. But at the time of riding, you hold the reins of the horse and you help him so that he can ride the back of the animal. So we did that, he says, and then my dad said that you got to go along with him till his house. That means you accompany him till his house and then come back. In other words. So he says that was the command of our dad, so basically we went along with him. And during the way, as we were going towards his house, he said to me, got mutawajjih towards me, and I understood that he's probably trying to say something secret to me, secretly to me only. So I went closer to him. Of course, Imam Qadim is riding the animal, he got close to the Imam, and Imam said to him that it's about to be your turn. In other words, that means you're going to rule after your dad. And when you come to power, do good towards my son. So this is how the Imams have been doing Itmam al-Hujjat in various ways ahead of the time to all those zalimeen, so they don't have any excuse. Right from the beginning, see, Imam Qadim alayhi salam is advising Mamun al-Rashid. And so basically he says, I still didn't know who he is. So when we came back, when we returned back and the night came, that's where I went to my father in loneliness and I asked him, who was this man that you respected him and you sat in a lower place than him, and then basically, in other words, the way that he asked him to accompany and all that. So Harun replied, this is the Imam of the people and the Hujjat and the Khalifa of Rasulullah. So Mamun says, I asked my dad, well, these are all those sifat and attributes that are for you. And Harun says, well, I have taken it forcibly. That means all this power, this position, I have grabbed forcibly. In the reality, it belongs to him. But again, he replies, he gives the same statement that al-mulku aqim. That means the kingdom doesn't recognize no children. Even if you stand up in front of my power, I'm going to kill you. Imam alayhi salatu wasalam's personality was never hidden, and the fact that he was standing for his khilafat and walayat and doing the Imam al-Hujjat, speaking up the haq and truth in front of the tawaghit, which is the biggest jihad in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and teaching the people about their responsibilities, despite the fact that Imam alayhi salam was living in the time, in some of the worst times in the history, where even meeting with the Imam was banned by the Khalifa. And nobody can see the Imam, except for very few durations of time in his lifetime. Very few and very short durations in his lifetime, people had the opportunity to meet and see the Imam. In so many other times, there was a ban from the ruler to even see the Imam or meet with the Imam and listen to him and learn from him. And despite all those, we find that so many knowledges have been spread from the Imam, and some of the greatest of all companions, some of the greatest companions of all times are coming from his time and learning from him those ma'arif of hadith and fiqh and tafsir and ilm al-kalam and other Islamic sciences, and arriving in our hands. And the people in the time had Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa himself narrates that I personally asked so many questions from Imam al-Qadim al-Islam when he was a child. And I got the answers of all those, and I found him as a faqih and mutakallim and a powerful person. And he's the one whom the people used to call him a salih. So we have praising kalimat from Imam Abu Hanifa for Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam as well. And his ilm and fazilat was very obvious on the society and never stayed hidden. So it's unfair for a person who is analyzing the history of Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam to say that their personalities were hidden on the people. They had their best of the services performed in all times, not just in those few short durations when they had access to the mu'mineen and to the people, to the non-mu'mineen, but also in the time of their imprisonment. When they were jailed, they were taking best benefit in spreading Islam, and so many of the people got inspired. We have stories how some of the worst people sent to torture the Imam alayhi salam in the prison got converted, and they were transformed into muttaqi and pious people when they had a look towards the ibadat and akhlaq of our seventh Imam, Imam al-Qadim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Zindan of Baghdad, where he was imprisoned, was one of the worst of the prisons in the history. And and we find that Mamun Harun al-Rashid was being instigated by some people that a government can never have two rulers. So when basically, as long as this guy is there, your khilafat and government can never be strong. So now again, the point to be noted is that it is improper and incorrect for a person analyzing the history of the imams, and specifically Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam, spending 14 years in the imprisonment. It's improper and incorrect for a person to say that Imam's activities were non-political. That's how some people portray the seerat of the Imams. And again, my teacher was saying, if the Imam's personality was non-political, there is no reason for a person like Harun Rashid to come and torture and fight.
finally poison and kill a person who is non-political and doing nothing against you. It's irrelevant to whatever Harun Rashid is doing and just busy in some of the worships and rituals without anything to do with the society, social and political obligations, then nobody would bother to kill such a person. There are a whole bunch of people who are busy in their different places of worships and some of those monasteries which are totally non-political, and nobody bothers about them. We don't even listen as if they don't even exist. So many places and so many people and so many worshippers are never even mentioned in the news media or in the history, you know, because they never played any significant role. Whereas Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam is not just, you know, tortured, sent from one prison to the other, but finally killed because he was working and active politically and socially, playing the desired divine duties. He had been, Harun had been instigated by people to kill him and to imprison him and to kill this guy, because as long as he's there, you can never survive and your government can never be strengthened. So, and this has been narrated in the history. So there were people, even in the regular masses, there were people who were feeling that Imam Kadhim alayhi salam's Khilafat and Walayat and his role towards the Khilafat and Walayat is strong enough to inspire the people and to destabilize the government of Harun. This was totally intolerable for Harun Rashid, who was apparently seeming to be very khadi and doing, you know, being modest and humble in front of the Imam, but had the buhl and hatred towards the Ahlul Bayt in his heart, and was, you know, and was basically hiding it in front of the people. So the people also had a dual policy. They were khadi with the malluk. They were fluttering and buttering up the ruler from the zahir with their bodies, but their qulub were not humbled in front of the khalifa. In fact, the significant number of people had in their qulub great deal of respect for Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. And we consider the Imam as the qutb. That means a pivot, a person who plays the focal point and focal role in all the existences in the universe. So he's the Qutbu Alam al-Imkan, how we call him. That means has a pivotal role in the entire world of possible existences. He's the Imam and the central focal point for all. And it is narrated in the history that Harun could not hide this. In one of the occasions, he actually expressed in front of the Imam that the government cannot have two rulers. So basically, either you are playing your role in your walayat and you are claiming to be the Khalifa and Wali of the Muslimin, or it's me. I mean, if both are there to work for their governments, it's not going to be like this. So once he had already he expressed it in front of the Imam. And Imam also, whenever it was required from his fariza and duty, he always used to be clear and blunt in his saying of the haqiqat. And that's where the role of killing comes in. Harun tried from several people, some other people, but they denied. And that's what we learned, that, you know, in Ilm al-Akhlaq, that since our imams are noor, so nobody can kill them unless and until a person is waladul haram and has 100% zulmat, complete zulmat in the qalb. Because in order to extinguish a person who is 100% nur of Allah, yuriduna liyutfi'u nur Allah biafwahihim. And in the tafsir, the ulama has said that nur Allah is ghayr Allah, because mudaf has to be ghayr al mudaf ilayh. This is pure Arabic grammar. Whenever you say something in the, you know, the possessive form, like we say Baytullah, Mulaf and Mulaf Alayh. Bayt is the Mulaf, Bayt is possessed, and Allah is the possessor. Like in English, we express this term with the apostrophe S, Allah's house. So house is what is called the possessed, and Allah is called the possessor. In Arabic, we call it Mulaf and Mulaf Alayh. So Mulaf Alayh is the possessor. And in the Arabic grammar, the possessor and the possessed has to be, necessarily has to be two different things. It cannot be one. If they are one in their reality, it's impossible in Arabic to use the possessive form and use the Mulaf and Mulaf Alayh, Idafa. So the possessed has to be other than the possessor. So when we say Baytullah, house of God, of course, house is different than Allah. House is not God. God is God and house is house. Isn't that right? The house has to be something different than God in order for you to correctly use the possessive form. So that's how we say house of God. If it was one of the same, one and the same thing, then you don't use that possessive form. So when we say yuridun, our mufassirin have mentioned in the tafsir, when we say yuridun la yutfi'u nurallahi bi afwahihim, they wish to extinguish the light of God with their blowings of the mouth. You know, like you try to extinguish a candle, you blow on the candle to try to extinguish it. Isn't that right? So this is what we can do towards the candle. But when it comes to the noor and divine light of Allah, nobody can extinguish by just blowing with our mouths. You know, that's certainly silly. So noor of Allah is other than Allah. It's not Allah. It's other than Allah. And our scholars have mentioned in the tafsir that the noor is certainly the noor of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salatu was salam. The Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, themselves have mentioned in some of the ahadith. We have abundant ahadith actually, talking about them being the noor. And it's not one or two evidences. So they are the noor in the ziyarat al-waris that we read on every Thursday. We say that we address in the ziyarat in these words that instead of saying that you were basically nutfatan tahira or something like that, we don't say ashhadu annaka kunta nutfatan tahira, I bear witness that you were clean nutfa and at the time of birth. Instead, in the ziyaratul waris, we say ashhadu annaka kunta nuran fil aslabish shamikha. Isn't that right? I bear witness that you were nur in the great lineages. So throughout the lineages, they have been transferred in the form of nur. Their nur was transferred from one father to the other, from one grandfather to the other. One after the other, their nur was being transferred. And likewise, the ziyaratul jami'a that we learned from Imam al-Hadi alayhi salatu wassalam, he also says in the ziyaratul jami'a, وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ anwaran. Allah created you anwar. So all the Ahlul Bayt are the anwar, and they are the ones who have been transferring, been getting transferred from one noor to one father lineage to the other, from the pure fathers, and also some of the ziyarat we read min arham al mutahharat, from the wombs of the pure mothers, they have been taken out one after the other and transferred till they got born in the physical form. So they are the noor, and the noor is basically majmu'iyya khubiha. That's the combination of all the goodnesses. In Arabic, we call the combination of all the goodnesses as Noor. So every goodness, if someone combines every goodness without anything bad, all he has is goodness and nothing but goodness. That type of person, we call him, he's Noor. So when we say Imam Hussein, that's narrated in the books of the Sunni brothers, that with the Noor of Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, every lost thing can be found. So every lost thing can be found with the Noor of Imam Hussein. Certainly, it includes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody has lost Allah, most importantly, it includes Allah, for sure. Because if somebody has lost Allah, which is the biggest loss, if somebody loses his Lord, then he can find through the Noor of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And everything else that you can lose, you can find through the Noor of the Imam. Because he combines all the goodnesses in his personality. So the Noor and Zulmat are not equal, and they don't get close to each other, and they don't get combined with each other either. So, مَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورُ. So the blind and the one who is basir don't combine, they're not equal. And likewise, the darknesses and noor are also not equal. So our scholars say, if we want to get close to the Ma'sumeen alayhi salatu wassalam, we need to get far away from the zulmat. So all these zulumat, ghibat is zulmat, kizb is zulmat, tuhmat on other people is zulmat, riya' is zulmat, takabbur is zulmat, hasad towards the mu'mineen is zulmat. All those evil attributes, if found in the qalb of a person, is zulmat and darkness. And these darknesses keep on piling upon each other if we don't do the tawbah, and we have no control over our actions, then it gets on piling up. So the more the zulmat gets piled, the farther we get away from the Ahlul Bayt, from the Imam of our time, who has nothing but khair and goodness in his qalb. So, in order to get close to the Imam, the zulumat need to be removed. So that these harams and the roots of the harams need to be rooted out and taken out from the qalb. The more we get the nurani, luminous divine attributes, the closer we get. And no matter how much distances separate us, we will still get closer instead of getting farther. So, remember the story of Tabuk, the Ghazwa of Tabuk, where the Holy Prophet had to travel along with the Muslims far, far away from Medina, close to the borders of today's Jordan, and which is very far in the burning sands of Arabia. And some of the riwayat inform us that one date was consumed by 10 Muslims. One date was eaten by 10 Muslims because there was an extreme shortage of food and water during the travel towards Tabuk, where Prophet was told, the news came that the Christians are about to attack the Muslim government in Medina of the Holy Prophet. So in order to defend, Prophet had to travel all the way towards Tabuk. And so that's where we find that some people got separated one after the other from the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And people were telling the Prophet, every time somebody got separated and he was left behind and doesn't come along any further with the army in that burning sand, and somebody used to come and tell the Holy Prophet, you know, such and such person is no longer with us. And Prophet said, if there is khair in him, Allah will bring him back. If there is no khair in him, it's better that he went. Again, somebody was left behind, and some of the ashab came and said the same statement, that this and this guy is no longer with us, and Prophet repeated the same statement. If there is khair in him, Allah will return him back. If there is no khair in him, it's better that he went. So finally, when Abu Dharr, rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, also was left behind, and the same happened, somebody told the Prophet, and Prophet gave the same remark. And finally, of course, he had a very lean camel, and this lean camel was, of course, very thirsty, just like Abu Dharr, or maybe more, and couldn't move forward. So finally, the camel collapsed and just fell down, and it could not move forward at all. Abu Dharr tried very hard, but it didn't move. So then he tried to walk on his foot. He was also a very lean and skinny person, and of course everybody was thirsty. He was also thirsty. Finally, he found some water on an oasis. In desert, when you find water, it's more precious than gold. Finding a gold treasure, because you are dying of thirst and if you are stranded. So he found some water, he tasted a bit, and he discovered it was very nice, clean, pure, fine water. So he didn't drink, just tasted it, didn't drink, fill up his water can, and started to march very slowly towards the Holy Prophet. So Prophet was also with his companions, and there was a khaymah which was installed so that they all can relax for a while. Prophet was there under the khaymah, and that's where the narration says that Prophet saw somebody coming towards their camp, so he asked some of his ashab to go and and help this person. So they saw it's Abu Dharr. So when Abu Dharr arrived with his water can, he literally fell down over the feet of the Holy Prophet and almost got fainted because of his thirst and hunger and tiredness. Prophet said, give him water. And Abu Dharr said with a very slow, dim voice, that I have water with me. Water is there in this water, carrier. And Prophet said, you have the water, but you don't drink? He said, when I tasted the water, it was so nice and clean and good, in other words, good water, that I thought that, it's not possible for me to drink the water before my Mahbub, my beloved Rasulullah, drinks the water first. So he didn't drink a single sip, and he brought the whole water for the Holy Prophet so that the Prophet can drink first. So this story tells us what our scholars say, that in order to get close to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, who are Noor, you require Sinkhiyat in your Noor. This story tells us about, this is a story of Sinkhiyat of the Noor. That means your Noor has to be having harmony with the Noor, some kind of harmony with the Noor of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, to get close to them. And this harmony and sinkhiyat comes entirely from how much we do the ijtinab, how much we keep away from the harams. So Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam, once he attended, he was there next to a grave, and he said this statement, Inna shay'an, please pay attention, Inna shay'an hadha akhiruhu لَحَقِيقٌ أَنْ يُزْهَدَ فِي أَوَّلِهِ. Certainly a thing whose end is this, deserves that we exercise zuhud in its beginning. So the human life, the end of the human life is this grave. So when the end of the human life is certainly the grave, so it deserves that since the beginning of the life we have zuhud in this dunya and we don't get attached. And then he said, وَإِنَّ شَيْئًا هَذَا أَوَّلُهُ. And certainly a thing whose beginning is this, لَحَقِيقٌ أَن يُخَافَ آخِرُهُ, deserves that its end should be feared. So, which we understand in the light of this statement that this grave is the beginning of Qiyamah and Hisab and Muhasabah. That's where the Hisab and Muhasabah and Qiyamah is. Amat ibn Adam, Qamat Qiyamatuhu. The hadith says, when a person, son of Adam, dies, his Qiyamah has started. His Qiyamah is there, in other words. So this is the beginning of his Qiyamah. Qabr is the mawqif number one among the 50 mawaqif of Qiyamah. So when this grave is the beginning of something, it deserves that the end of it should be feared. What a beautiful wisdom statement, a statement of wisdom, although all her statements are like that. And when somebody passes away, sadaqah is not just we give money. If you don't have money to give sadaqah for your dead, what you can do is that Sayyid ibn Ta'us has narrated this narration. You can pray two rakat of prayers, and in the first rakat after Surat al-Fatiha, you read Surat al-Ikhlas twice. In the second rakat after Fatiha, you recite Surat al-Takasur twice. And then you say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, wab'ath thawabaha, send its thawab ila qabri thalikal mayyit, to the grave of that mayyit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the same time you do that, will send 1,000 angels towards the grave. And every angel is going to carry with him clothes, some cloth to wear for the dead person, and some, hulla for him. And his grave will be expanded because one of the problems is the wahshat that everybody has in his qabr, because so small and tight. And we are not used to sleep in such places, in our lives. So everybody fears the wahshat of qabr. So one of the ways to remove the wahshat and the tightness of the grave is this prayers. And Allah makes the qabr expanded until the day the trumpet is blown, nafqusul. And also Allah gives the musalli, person who prays that type of prayers, Allah gives all upon all those things the sun shines. If you start counting all those creatures of Allah upon whom the sun shines, in the number of all those creatures, Allah will give hasanat and good deeds to this person. Basically, the things upon whom the sun shines are uncountable. Isn't that right? You can't just start counting all the particles of the earth and all the creatures which are living inside on the planet, and all the plantations and all the humans and the animals and the insects and the birds and the ocean and all those. This is simply uncountable for us. Isn't that right? So Allah gives that much hasanat to a person and increases 40 levels for him. So these are some of the great wisdoms that we have learned from personalities. These are some of the great wisdoms that we learn, and we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us with our imams and all the guidances that we have received from them and the nur that we have received from them. But the behavior of the people in this world is terrible, because the same Imam Al-Qadim alayhi salam, who is the Noor for the humanity, for the entire universe, is now found dead, and his janaza is put on the bridge in Baghdad with his handcuffs and the chains in his feet. So they didn't even bother to take the handcuffs and the chains out from the hands and the feet of Imam alayhi salam. And they had basically just put the janaza like this without informing anyone, any of his relatives or friends or, you know, any of the mu'mineen to take care of the janaza, as if Islam has nothing to say about how to bury a Muslim. They used to make so many big claims, you know, Harun Rashid and their company used to make huge claims about being the Khalifa of Rasulullah and being Muslims and mu'mins and the lovers of Ahlul Bayt. Isn't that right? So now you find that they are putting the janaza of the Imam of the time with the handcuffs and the chains alone on the bridge of Baghdad, which is one of the strongest evidences to prove that these people were nothing but kuffar. And actually worse than kuffar. So, that's where Sulaiman bin Ja'far, you know, rahmatullahi alayh, this mu'min basically had to fight with the people of the ruler, the people of Harun, to battle and take the janaza from there, take the janaza of Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam from there, and he was the one who provided a very expensive kafan for the Imam, worth 2,500, and upon which the entire Holy Quran was written on that kafan. And the janaza was then taken out and buried in the city of Baghdad. So these so this shows how much zulmat those people had and how much nuraniyat our Imam had. It takes a lot of nuraniyat for the Imam to have sabr in all those occasions. And it takes a lot of zulmat from those kuffar. And this guy, Sindi bin Shahik, this ghulam of Harun, who poisoned the Imam finally, لَا يَقْتُلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَلَا أَوْلَادَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ إِلَّا أَوْلَادُ الزِّنَا. No one can kill the prophets or the children of the prophets except the bastards, the illegitimately born children. They are the ones who are full of zulmat and darkness inside out. So we find that you know, it takes a lot of zulmat to harm the ma'sumeen, and it takes a lot of nuraniyat to stand in front of those ashqiya. When Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha says in front of Yazid in the darbar that kid kaidak was'a sa'yak, do whatever your plan is. That means plan as much as you can against us, Ahlul Bayt, in other words. Was'a sa'yak, and do your efforts. Wallahi, for wallahi la tamhu dhikrana. I swear to Allah, you can never erase our remembrance. That means our zikr is going to survive forever, and you can never kill it. Wala tumito wahyana, and you can never kill our wahi. So the message of Imam Hussain alayhi salam is bound to survive. The message of Hazrat Zainab, the hadith says that the nafas of Hazrat Zainab was the tasbih. Even her breathing was the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not easy. It takes a lot of nuraniyat, that Sayyid ibn Ta'us says that the malaika of Allah did their ta'ajjub and they were surprised when they saw Hazrat Zainab standing right on the night after the day of Ashura, with all of his people, all of those shuhada, all of those family members becoming shaheed, you know, and standing in the middle of the night and saying her, in the night, saying her Salatul Layl. The Malaika of Allah did their ta'ajjub about the creation and khilqat of this great lady and the azamat of Hazrat Zainab. It takes a lot of sinkhiyat and harmony with the noor of Ahlul Bayt. She's part of the Ahlul Bayt. So this is the Nuraniyat. And it takes a lot of Nuraniyat for Ali Asghar Salamullahi Alayhi to smile when he receives the arrow in his neck. You know, the narration says, Ali Asghar smiled on the face of the Imam. It takes a sinkhiyat and harmony with the noor of Imam Hussein to smile after receiving the arrow from the Ashqiyah. And it takes a lot of sinkhiyat and harmony with the noor of Ahlul Bayt that Ali Akbar alayhi salam, you know, after receiving that spear on his chest, he's so happy. He's so happy. And he's saying to his father, Hada Jaddi Rasulullah, this is my grandfather, Rasulullah, saying salam to you. You know, wa ajjil al quduma ilayna. The Prophet is saying, in other words, that come quicker to us. It takes a lot of nuraniyat to talk like this and to behave like this towards the Imam. It takes a lot of nuraniyat for Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam to take the arrow in his eye and still doing his wafa towards Imam Hussein alayhi salam and going into the river of Furat, and he takes the water in his hand, but he still did not drink the water because he remembers Sakina. Because he remembers Sakina bintul Hussein and he remembers Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It takes a lot of nuraniyat and simkhiyat to do that. And we find it takes a lot of nuraniyat for Imam Sajjad alayhi salam to receive all those slashes throughout his travels from Karbala to Kufa and from Kufa to Sham. You know, Shimr, la'natullah alayhi, used to slash Imam Sajjad alayhi salam during the safar, and they were being given one bread in the entire day and night. And we find Hazrat Zainab used to go hungry because she used to provide the bread to the children. Because the bread is not even sufficient for the children to eat. But it takes a lot of nuraniyat to do that. We find that Shimr was slashing Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And then when it was asked, you know, when it was inquired, Shimr actually himself told that I am going to keep on slashing you until the head of your father moves forward. Because there was a spear and the head of Imam Hussein was on top of that spear and he was not moving forward. That spear went into the ground and Shimr started slashing Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And that's where Imam Hussein's head miraculously started to speak and informed his son Imam Sajjad that the Sakina has fallen down. Hazrat Sakina would have been falling down or riding on some of those animals. And that's where Imam Sajjad asked Hazrat Zainab to go and find out Sakina. You know, Hazrat Sakina is the beloved daughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. How much he used to love Sakina. And this daughter used to sleep over the chest of the Imam. Every night Sakina used to sleep over the chest of her father. And now I don't know how Hazrat Zainab came down, because she was also riding a camel. Isn't that right? She's riding the camel and her hands are also tied behind her. So I don't know how she came down. She fell over her face, or how else she came down, I don't know. And then now Hazrat Zainab again, look at how she's serving the Imamat and how she's serving the Walayat of Ahlul Bayt. She went towards the Sahara, towards the desert to find Sakina. She is finding Sakina. She couldn't find her. She continues forward till a place arrives. She finds there is a lady with hijab and she is sitting in the desert. She is holding Sakina in her lap and this lady is expressing so much love towards Sakina. And certainly Hazrat Zainab never found anyone doing that sort of love towards Sakina throughout her travel between from Karbala to Kufa and Kufa to Sham. She never found anybody doing that sort of love. So when she moves forward and she asks her, that lady says, she removes the veil, the hijab in front of the niqab from her face. Then it was Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha showing her love towards the son, the daughter of Imam Hussein.
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه لجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for these two ladies who passed away, Marhuma Khairun Nisa and Marhuma Aminah.